This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome to the Power Lunch, sponsored by InterPars Capital, your business partner in financing commercial real estate and small businesses. We are the only news talk show about women making the headlines and those making their own news. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, joined with my co-host and handsome one, that is, with Jay Como.
Welcome to our first show of 2015. What a year 2014 was, and it definitely was a defining year for many powerhouse women who made the headlines. Sometimes good, and sometimes not so good. We, however, will reflect back on how many women headliners fared in 2014, and who will be watching 2015.
That's right. 2014 was a phenomenal year. So before we get into that, we just wanted to say thank you and hope you all had a great holiday season. We, however, took a break for the last few weeks of the year, spending time with loved ones. Our lovely college daughter came home and loved being around college kids. Their outlook on life is always so optimistic, it's actually contagious. They also remind you how old you are, and we always get a quick tutorial on what we are outdated on. This year, unequivocally, was Spotify. I still don't understand it, but I think it's like listening to music on demand. Still don't see how that differs from Pandora. Meanwhile, my sister got a Roku for Christmas and is all the rage about that as well. I believe this time next year we will see more innovations where entertainment is trending more to anything on demand, much like podcasts is our wonderful show.
So if you watch the New Year's Eve show with Carson Daly, there's a point where they're talking about binge watching television. This whole on demand has created a different type of experience for users. Once you're hooked, you don't believe you should wait for the next week's episode. Like, why wait a week, right? If you follow House of Cards, for example, on Netflix, it all comes up in one bang, and what that typically ends up is a marathon, and I think hence the conversation about binging. And
so we just
started watching Marco Polo.
Love it.
Finally started watching Downton Abbey, and
absolutely love it.
We've got some binging to do to get caught up. You know, so that's showing new television programs and movies on demand. What else would you like to see invented from an on-demand perspective to other parts of our lives?
You know, that's interesting you say that, because I've heard quite a bit of commentary on the fact that on-demand has become quite a trend, and that we're turning into an on-demand type society, whether it's podcasts like our show, or music like Spotify, or even shows, which is really where Netflix kind of, or DVR created that. This on-demand type of expectation to have, whether it's 24 hours or even on-demand, is something to be expected. I, on the other hand, would love to see more on-demand on personal home services. Jay, I'm sure you would find that more entertaining, because I'd probably spend a lot less time on the road and at spas, but would love the trend in New York City. They've had it for a while to have on-demand aestheticians, where they come and give you facials or haircuts or manicures. I would love to see that happening in just about any city. I would definitely pay extra to have someone come over to the house, kind of traveling pet groomer that's already out there. But from an entertainment perspective, I would definitely love, from technology, I'd love to see on-demand, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or even some of the radio stations and podcasts that you could get it in your car. I think that's really where I hope to see on-demand move in the next generation.
Yeah, agreed. You can almost get there now. You can ride the rails of Bluetooth to get our podcast, for example, onto your radio.
Shameless plug.
That's right. Onto your radio station or onto the sound waves of your car. You can, as I've done once or twice, upload a football video, like something about the 49ers head coach, and you can get sort of the latest buzz. But it's hard to do while you're driving. It's not real coordinated. So I do think that there needs to be an invention that makes it much more user-friendly, makes it easier to kind of bounce around and not put yourself at risk while you're driving.
Absolutely, I agree. Well, we can't start off the year without reflecting on the previous year and making predictions for the upcoming year, which is in 2015. So as Jay had indicated, this show is all about women in review. We've had a wonderful 2014. It was actually quite a great year for a number of women, and it's great to see more women in the news. Headlines, no matter what you say in terms of politics, entertainment, and businesses, global influence, definitely seeing more women in the headlines. So we're going to cover the most influential women that made the headlines in 2014. And then we're also going to keep our eye on what we think are going to be names to watch out for 2015. So let's start off with the most powerful woman in the world. Forbes and Fortune come out with their annual most powerful women list. Well, in 2014, their list did come out with a lot of overlap. But Mr. Technocrat, please explain for our listeners how the Forbes and Fortune lists do differentiate.
Forbes and Fortune are very distinct in their rankings, despite there being overlap, as you mentioned, in their women's and the women being selected. Forbes' Most Powerful Women of the Year are compiled from a preliminary group of over 250 candidates from around the world. It is then narrowed down to the 100 of the most influential women from 8 categories on the basis of billionaires, that's with a B, business, also with a B, celebrity, finance, media, philanthropy, NGOs, and rounding out politics and technology. So to determine the rank within each category, overall rank of the 100, they apply 4 metrics: money, media presence, spheres of influence, and impact. So Fortune's Most Powerful Women, they're really more focused just on business. So you don't really see politicians on that list or even entertainers.
So for 2014, the most powerful woman in the world this year, rounding out the top 5, was Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, Janet Yellen, the Federal Reserve Chair of the United States, Melinda Gates, no surprise there, Mrs. Gates, the philanthropist, Dilma Rousseff, the President of Brazil, and Christine Lagarde, the Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund. These 5 women were the most powerful women in the world. Now, I know a number of you would say, well, what about the Queen of England or the Princess? Or, for God's sakes, Kim Kardashian. These women, based again on what Jay was saying,
for
is based.
God's sake, you.
No, not me. That's a different list, my little secret list. But these women are considered the most powerful, again, based on the categories that were listed, again, billionaires, business, celebrity, finance. So it can't just be about entertainment. It's also got to be on their influence on the world.
So the common thread for these women is, in fact, their influence on the world economy. You have Angela Merkel, one of the most powerful leaders in Europe, frankly, the most powerful leader in Europe from my view, and the strongest voice in the European Union. There's Dilma Rousseff, the president of Brazil, which is the B in BRIC, and one of the fastest growing economies. And then you've got, well, obviously Melinda Gates, who along with Bill have a lot of money and are shaping the world from a philanthropic perspective. And then you've got two real movers and shakers for the world economy, Janet Yellen, who can really drive monetary policy for the U.S. and the world, and then Christine Lagarde, who can shape the way that dollars are moved into developing companies vis-a-vis the IMF. So it's a really interesting list.
And I love these top 5 women, because at the end of the day, it's not only about looks or entertainment, which, you know, you fight so much as a woman to try to make headlines in your career, and you want to be known for your brains and what your impact. And these 5 women unequivocally are doing just that and putting their imprint. So let's start off with Ms. Merkel. She is by far the most powerful woman in the world. As we in the U.S. still struggle with voting women into power positions in politics, the Germans beat us. They've been doing this for over a decade now. And Ms. Merkel was actually featured last month, coincidentally. There was an article by The New Yorker called, quote, "The Astonishing Rise of Angela Merkel, the Most Powerful Woman in the World."
The article highlights Chancellor Merkel's influence and the outcome of her leadership in the last decade as impressive. Germany is an economic juggernaut with low unemployment and resilient manufacturing. The ongoing monetary crisis of the Eurozone has turned Germany, Europe's largest creditor nation, into a regional superpower. One of Merkel's biographers calls her the Chancellor of Europe, which I agree with. And the part I probably don't agree with in the article, it says, while America slides into an ever deeper inequality, Germany retains its middle class and a high level of social solidarity. So clearly the Euros still don't like America. That's okay. We really like ourselves. But nonetheless, I think the article, while it hit a chord on some parts that I might not agree with, it certainly paints her out to be the Chancellor of Europe and everything that's amazing about her leadership.
And I agree with Forbes ranking her the most powerful woman in the world in 2014 because of the impact that she has on the geopolitical standpoint, specifically in Europe with all the struggles that they're having with Russia and the Ukrainian crisis. I personally believe Putin's afraid of her. He would have made a move on the Ukraine by now because he clearly doesn't give a crap what the United States says. I do think it's Ms. Merkel that scares the bejesus out of him. So hopefully she continues to wield her power and influence as the strongest economy in Europe. And I also do truly believe that given that there won't be a lot of movement in the U.S. in terms of politics until 2016, if we see a woman there, and I'm sure we'll debate this with the next woman on the list, I do think I do think Chancellor Merkel will most likely take the top seat as the most powerful woman in the world for 2015 as well.
I would say that there was a time when the European Union was being discussed as perhaps being disbanded. The debts of Italy and Portugal and Spain was pretty radical, and frankly, if she would have decided not to fix everyone, it would have disbanded. So she's absolutely just incredibly powerful across the pond. So one of the most powerful women in the U.S. and the second most powerful woman in the world is Janet Yellen, the chair of the Federal Reserve. 2014 was a formidable year for a woman in U.S. politics, and Janet became the first female chair of the Federal Reserve. With barely a year under her tenure, she's been under the microscope as the world analyzes how she will steer the U.S. economy and monetary policy under her stewardship.
That's right, Jay. Janet Yellen had an impressive year. I think we all were surprised but encouraged to see that the first female Fed chair took the helm in 2014. The Yale University doctorate is the first woman to head the most influential central bank in the world, given the size of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, which is $14.5 trillion and counting, relative to the U.S. GDP, which is $16.8 trillion. In October, the Fed announced a cap on the six-year bond buying campaign, but said it will keep short-term interest rates near zero. Top of Ms. Yellen's list for 2015, repairing the American dream. Jay, what's your prediction on where Yellen will wind up for 2015 in terms of power and influence?
It is going to be the Super Bowl for U.S. economics in 2015, and she will be the star quarterback, turning in an all-pro performance. I don't know if she can knock Angela Merkel off the list of the most powerful. I mean, technically, Merkel could send troops to war and Janet Yellen cannot. However, Janet Yellen's policy certainly can fund everything in the world. The Fed's balance sheet has gotten very big. They're going to need to figure out how to unwind that. But as you see, the rest of the world starting to even flow more into easy money policies like Mario Draghi and the European Union are doing, you will now start to see, in my view, Janet Yellen leading the Fed into a tighter policy, I think. Rates will go up. They'll raise rates. They'll restrict some of the free money in the economy right now, and it'll be the first time in 10 years. So it's amazing. And I would just say I've worked for Janet Yellen, and it's amazing what this country has done in 10 years since I worked at the Federal Reserve. It was 11 or 12 trillion GDP back then. And
that was back before it was cool.
It was cool then.
No offense to your Fed Reserve coworkers.
Cool it's cooler now. 16.8 trillion. But this will be a great year, I think. And I do think rates will go up. I think that the economy is turning. It's not a jobless recovery any longer. And it'll be fascinating to see her quarterback in the coming months.
Well, I believe Janet Yellen will remain in the top five of the most powerful women for 2015. I don't know if she'll be number two, but I definitely think in the top five. On to the next most powerful woman in the world,
That's
number
economic
three.
Economic blasphemy, for the record.
I love your geekiness. On to the next most powerful woman in the world in 2014. Number three is a very famous name around the world, no matter where you are, but not for her politics, but for her wealth. Melinda Gates is the third most powerful woman in the world, quoted many times for her power influence in 2014.
That's right. Bill and Melinda Gates ranked number one on Forbes' billionaire list for 2014. Overall estimated wealth of $81 billion, again with a B. The Gates are back on top after a four-year hiatus, reclaiming the title of world's richest person from telecom mogul Carlos Slim Helu of Mexico, who ranked number one the past 4 years. I believe he's Slim Shady, is he not?
No, that's from 8 Mile. That's a different movie.
Oh, Carlos, the telecom guru.
The Mexican billionaire
has been pretty impressive. But Gates' fortune rose by $9 billion in the past year. They've had the top spot 15 of the past 20 years.
That's so impressive. Well, Melinda Gates has cemented her dominance in philanthropy and global development to the tune of $3.4 billion in giving and more than $26 billion in grant commitments since she co-founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation with her husband in 1998. Melinda's work has inspired other big donors, and she has changed the way funders think about effective philanthropy. It's very highly targeted campaigning coupled with data-driven monitoring and global collaboration. As the woman with her name on the door, Melinda Gates decides the direction of the organization and reviews the results. She's extremely engaged. She just doesn't have her name on the foundation. Much of her attention in 2015 is now focused on the reproductive health of women in developing countries.
So that rounds out the top three most powerful women in the world. Just recapping. Number one, Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany, the most powerful woman leader. Then there's number two, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, the first female Fed chair in the U.S. And number three, as discussed, Melinda Gates, part of the most powerful couple. I think we're on that list, are we not?
We're missing like six zeros or something like that.
We're not on that list at all. And they're net worth of $81 billion. It's an impressive list. We have many more powerhouse women to cover on our list for 2014. So let's break and return with more women on our first show of 2015. Talk more about that when we get back from our break.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does. Whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Inter Pares Capital, your business partner in financing commercial real estate and small businesses. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, joined with my co-host, technocrat, and eye candy, Jay Como. Happy New Year and welcome to 2015. As we kick off the first show of the new year, we are reflecting back on the powerhouse women who made the headlines in the last year and those who we should watch out in the upcoming year. When we left off, we covered the three most powerful women in the world last year, and we're bringing it home to the United States, where a number of headlines made it a great banner year for women, and that was the midterm U.S. elections.
So one of my New Year's resolutions in 2015 is to do some more impressions, which I'm quite amateur at. But here's Jeff Foxworthy on your eye candy. If your eye candy is a man who's middle-aged and balding, you might need glasses. What do you think?
No.
All right, back to politics. I was focused on the 114th Congress as well, which will officially take office next Monday. And so we'll have 104 women in the Congress. So that's 20 women in the Senate, 14 Dems and 6 Republicans. And then in the House, a record 84 women in the 435-member body. 62 Dems, 22 Republicans. And that is up from, depending on when you tally the 113th Congress, it was 99 for most of the session. And I believe there was a special election late towards the end of the year, bringing it up to 100. So it's a net increase of 5. Perhaps 6, given on when you score the delta. But it's really a very good increase, particularly in the House, getting to 84 female members in the chamber.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of us who had to hear that there was a war on women, I'd say we won that war minimally. If we're more elected women, we're actually made it into the House in this upcoming Congress. Well, we also had a number of firsts, and let's start off with the Senate. Joni Ernst, I'm a huge fan of hers, will be the first woman ever in Iowa's congressional delegation in the House or the Senate in that state of Iowa. And she's also the first female veteran to ever serve in the United States Senate. And she's actually currently serving as well. She's still a week in war, which is why I'm a huge fan of hers. Another first for the Congress was Shelley Moore Capito. She is West Virginia's first female senator, and she's also the first Republican senator from West Virginia in the last 56 years. She was previously a 7-term state representative.
In the House of Representatives, as we said, considerable gains for women. There are 14 newly elected members of the House, joining 70 incumbents that were reelected. Notable first, as we've discussed on this show in the past, are Mia Love, the Republican out of Utah, the first African-American Republican from Utah, and Bonnie Watson, the Dem from New Jersey. She's the first African-American in Congress from that state. Additionally, are Elise Stefanik, the youngest female representative ever elected at 30. Can you imagine that, being in the House as a 30-year-old? Can't even fathom it.
That's just impressive. And we also had a gubernatorial races. They were not as impressive in terms of on the net number gains, but still a few firsts. The total number of women governors taking at the helm in the governor mansions in 2015 will only be 5. That's not very impressive, but still we've got 5 governors out there, and that's 2 Dems and 3 Republicans. That's the same number as in 2014. Governor-elect Gina Raimondo, she's the Democrat out of Rhode Island, won an open seat and was one of actually 9 women who competed and was nominated for that race. So go Rhode Island. She will also join 4 incumbent women who were reelected: Maggie Hassan, the Dem out of New Hampshire, Susana Martinez, Republican out of New Mexico, and Mary Fallon, the Republican out of Oklahoma, as well as Nikki Haley, who fought a hotly contested race in South Carolina. 2 of the women governors, Martinez and Haley, are women of color. They were the first women of color elected. I'm a little more worried about the gubernatorial races for women in terms of statistics, frankly speaking, because most of the U.S. presidents ever elected were governors.
That's correct. We've talked about this interesting fact quite a bit as we look at the upcoming elections. We've only had 2 senators elected president in recent history. It was Kennedy and Obama. The benefit of electing a governor is twofold. They have to manage a state, so they have executive powers and the budget that goes along with it. And also, they have to really understand how to govern across party lines, right? Because typically, they'll have to pass legislation in their houses that either their chambers are divided or voting members within the chambers still have to get on board. So in essence, they have the experience and the prior management expertise to get leading the biggest government in the world done effectively.
And I do want to personally see more women get elected into the governor's seat to ensure we have a better chance of getting elected, of electing a female president. I know there's a lot of hope that Hillary Clinton, also a big name for the last year and years past, that she'll be our first female president. But the Democratic Party didn't vote for her 6 years ago when I felt she had more credibility in getting into the race. So it will be interesting if another late-breaking individual come through on the Democratic Party nominations to beat her out. But 6 years ago, everyone thought it was Hillary early on, and she lost that bid. So I'm a little reluctant to throw everything in for Hillary right this. We'll see if the second time is a charm for her.
Still kind of Florida. Well, we also had another woman appointed to an area near and dear to your business heart. Maria Contreras Sweet became the 24th administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration and a member of President Obama's cabinet on April 7th, 2014. Not a lot of press there, but within the mainstream media, but having a woman head the SBA is impressive, as women entrepreneurships are the fastest growing segment. A lot of corporations are focusing their dollars there to both female entrepreneurs and just the CFOs of the families, leading families. So it's a good appointment there. She founded the first Latino formed commercial bank in California, and she previously started a venture capital firm. So she certainly has entrepreneurial expertise. And she's absolutely no stranger to small business.
Right. And she made our list of the top women for 2014 because while she was very not big in the news in terms of headlines, she was consistently in the headlines, whether it was in the Wall Street Journal or USA News Reporter or Associated Press, because she's the SBA president. So Maria Contreras Sweet, 24th administrator for the U.S. Small Business and Administration. And we hope to see more funding opportunities for women entrepreneurs, as you stated, fastest growing segment.
So let's stick with U.S. politics. We had some interesting headliners this past year that were not so positive for women in politics. In the cabinet, Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius resigned this past summer as the multi-million dollar or was it a billion? I'm not sure, but it was a ton of money spent on the website, failed, and eventually, after way too much money and effort, got up and running, and that really pinned her in the crosshairs. And then she was actually later replaced by Sylvia Matthews Burrell, who is the current Secretary of HHS.
You know my thoughts on Kathleen Sebelius. I really liked her as governor of Kansas. I actually think she was one of the strongest governors out there back in the day, but she was the governor from 2003 to 2009. Wanted to call her out. She was in the headlines, but for those of you that didn't know Kathleen before she became the secretary, and joined Obama in his cabinet, she was a really strong governor for the state of Kansas. And just like Janet Napolitano, who was another female governor, the former governor of Arizona, and joined the cabinet as Secretary of Homeland Security, I think both female governors were better suited, honestly, staying in their governor mansions rather than joining the cabinet. Not that I didn't think they were capable of cabinet positions. I don't think that their work in the cabinet helped catapult their political careers. If they were eyeing a bid for presidential nominations, I think it killed it, but that's my personal opinion on
it. It's interesting. Those that are right of center, slightly right of center, or center-based, I think when she was the governor of Kansas, I believe that Sebelius had a lot of respect across the nation.
I do. I agree.
You were one, right? Mm-hmm. You're one that doesn't tend to lean too left, and you certainly have always liked her, and I wasn't really short on her either. I thought she was pretty impressive in the rebuttal to the State of the Union, and so...
She was very articulate.
Yeah, she was. And then, interesting... There's a little known sheriff in Maricopa County named Sheriff Joe Arpaio, a long-term elected official who's typically definitely cast as a Republican. And in his book that I read a few years ago, he had nothing but praise to say about the liberal Janet Napolitano, a liberal female getting elected in still a red state. Phoenix itself is somewhat purple. As a city, but the state is still very red, and she was able to get elected there. So I don't know. You tell me, where's the war on women? Is it an administration that takes these fantastic, great women politicians and chews them out, spits them out, ruins their careers?
I think it was definitely a bad move. I think Kathleen Sebelius, unfortunately for her, will not be remembered, I think, strongly in the American politics for the work that she did as a great state in the great state of Kansas. I think it's going to be a mark on her, and hopefully she can recover and get back into politics. Napolitano's doing some great work as an administrator now for, what is it, the University of California Regents. I think she's the chair over there, so she's moved into education. You know, if we want to compete in the realm of running for the presidential bid and for bigger offices, honestly, we've got to have more women on the bench there. So Kathleen Sebelius wasn't the only one who had a bad year. Unfortunately, the former head of the Secret Service and the first female director, Julia Pearson, resigned this past year and made a number of headlines late fall as her agency, the Secret Service, suffered a number of embarrassing and public moments.
More people broke into the White House this last year than broke into our house.
We don't have
Secret Service. We do have an alarm
scary. And
other things in
and
case
a dog.
You're thinking about it.
Well, a trespasser had climbed the White House fences, making it all the way to the East Wing before being apprehended by the Secret Service, and that was all caught on someone's mobile phone. And then in addition, the first family did not know that a bullet was fired into the White House personal residence until a cleaning lady found a bullet in broken glass, which apparently they still couldn't tie back to when and where that happened. Well, Director Pearson, under the scrutiny, and for those of you that didn't, we talked about it at one of our shows right after we had watched the entire congressional hearings. It was a brutal beatdown, and finally Director Pearson resigned.
Another notable government official that is still making the news this past year is Lois Lerner from the Internal Revenue Service.
Lois Lerner, the IRS.
This one, again, having watched those hearings. She made headlines after Congress brought to light a number of 501c4 organizations set up for political purposes, specifically for the Tea Party, were either denied or unfairly discriminated against. Lerner was summoned to Capitol Hill to speak to her involvement on these issues, and she denied speaking with any congressman and made headlines by pleading the fifth repeatedly. And even more damning was the email fiasco where they just can't find most of her emails. We could talk for a long time about this situation.
I just want to know if any audits moving up that people can just say that they lost their emails or their receipts.
I don't have those receipts. They're somewhere with your hidden emails.
They lost in the cloud, right. Well, that's, again, you know, a lot of women made the headlines and not necessarily all on the good note. But let's end it on a high note. Outside of the 114th Congress taking their seat next week with the most amount of women ever elected in the United States, we will most likely have another woman serving in the White House cabinet. Loretta Lynch, the nominee for the U.S. Attorney General, is due to replace Eric Holder. It is likely that she will be approved and will be the second female U.S. Attorney behind Janet Reno, who actually served behind President Clinton.
And you don't often see cabinet members straddle administrations, but it does happen occasionally, and it's more probably germane to the FBI or the CIA. Those are kind of sub-cabinet posts, but listen, she's bipartisan. She's got an impressive record. I'm actually really anxious to see class and dignity brought back to that office. I think Holder abused it. He stayed too long, I think. And I'm hopeful that she's going to bring respect back to that office, and would love to see her move into the next administration, even if it's a Republican one.
I agree. So excited to get another female in the cabinet, even though it won't be a first for us. But Loretta Lynch, due to be the next U.S. Attorney General. Okay, folks, we still have more women headliners from 2014 to cover. We've barely scratched the surface. Next up, we've got women billionaires, yes, with a B, and they are impressive, as well as women CEOs and chairs at the helm of the biggest companies on planet Earth. More when we return.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does. Whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital, we can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
She's smart. She's successful. She's an executive. She's an entrepreneur. And she's the chief executive of her story. Who is she? She's you. Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network. Your Power Lunch Hour, keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Inter Pares Capital, your business partner in commercial finance for business and real estate. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, with handsome co-host Jay Como, bringing you our first show of 2015 with our 2014 year in review. This year was hailed as many as the year for the woman entrepreneur, and in fact, kicking off the first Women's Entrepreneur Day, an initiative sponsored by the United Nations.
Banging the drum in 2014 were many, many outlets and media that would be the year for women entrepreneurs. There's much ground to be made up, however, it was a good year but not great. And so the world average of female top executives is 8%. South Korea has the highest portion of female CEOs in the world, with 30% of companies employing female CEOs, followed by the People's Republic of China with 19%. Now that's not a place you typically think of equality, but number 2. And then in the EU, the figure is 9%. And the United States is a mere 5%.
That's interesting, because you look at these Asian nations, and because South Korea, you know, I would assume, and China are not the most westernized nations in terms of corporations being built, to see that the U.S. is only at 5% in terms of female executives is unfortunate. So I'm not sure why it all of a sudden became trendy to focus on women in the headlines in 2014, but we can definitely give weight to the women who have been building the foundation to make it easier for the next generation. And in that vein, let's start off with Fortune's Most Powerful Women in Business. In fact, the big conference this past October in 2014 was one of the most well-attended, and with the most powerful women in business world news making major announcements as well.
And as we've discussed, Fortune's list of the 50 most powerful women in the world is different from the Forbes most powerful women's list. That is a tongue turner. That being said, the Fortune's list is no less important for those in the business sector, as women are made considerable strides this year. This year's Fortune's conference to honor these 50 women was a who's who. We talked about this in past shows. Who's a who at the conference? Do you want to start with the conference or the top 50 list?
Well, interesting. Both were headliners. Let's start off with the list first and then go to the conference, which is also on my bucket list to attend. I've got to attend Fortune's Most Powerful Women conference before I die. Well, quoted from Fortune magazine, more CEOs, more industries, more power, more challenges for women executives. And that's the story of Fortune's 2014 ranking last year of the 50 most powerful women in business, which features an all-time record of 24 large company CEOs in its pages. The women are leading and in many cases pushing through difficult transformations in heavy industries such as technology, energy, defense, and automobile industry. Ginni Rometty, no stranger to the list, was again ranked number one for the third consecutive year, and she continues to retool the big blue company, IBM. Number two was Mary Barra, new to the list and also new to the helm at GM as CEO, as she continued to fix General Motors from the inside out. Third on the list was Marilyn Hewson. I'm a fan of hers. She's a quiet one that you don't see in the business sector quite a bit, but she's impressive nonetheless. She's the CEO of Lockheed Martin, and our fourth ranked woman is looking beyond defense for growth for today. Today, eight of the top 10 most powerful women in business lead large industrial, technology, and consumer products companies. And why that's so important to note is originally, and I shouldn't have had this assumption or bias, is that the women, top women in business would have been somebody like Oprah and her own network, or Martha Stewart because she's in kind of those softer industries. But to see that eight of the top 10 women on that list lead industrial, technology, consumer product companies, I think is a wonderful feat.
You said difficult transformation, and if you followed the automotive industry, particularly in the U.S. in the past decade, you can't really think of General Motors without thinking difficult transformation.
Difficult year.
And even still so. So Mary Barra is number two on Fortune's Most Powerful Women in Business and number 62 on Forbes Most Powerful Women in the World list. Barra became the auto industry's first female CEO in January, and in April was summoned to Congress to answer for faulty ignition switches linked to at least 21 deaths. Throughout a 30 million car recall, the 34-year veteran has remained poised and confident. Barra says GM is on track for a 10% operating margin in North America and it will restore profits in Europe. And actually, the North American business has done really exceeded expectations from my view, and Europe is the problem. So the fact that she's going to get them to restore profits in 2016 is pretty impressive. She'll bring out a new GM and look to regain customers' trust. In September, the Detroit automaker announced a 2017 Cadillac that drives itself.
Woohoo!
Happy hour. And it'll let drivers take their hands off the wheel at highway speeds. Well, so then we can actually stream on
we're not advocating
Bluetooth.
Do not
to
attempt
listen
this.
To our show driving this Cadillac.
Well, if you've ever heard my podcast in the past, I've been really impressed with Mary Barra on how she has handled her recall on the recalls, the congressional hearings, the media, and still being poised, very poised, in leading her organization. What's impressive about Mary being the CEO of GM is that GM is ranked number 7 in the Fortune 500 top list of companies, making her the highest ranking female CEO on the global list of top companies in the world. And as a result, she's also the highest ranking businesswoman on Forbes Most Powerful Women list, coming in the lucky number 7 as well. She is the definition of grace under fire. I'm not kidding. Mary Barra, if you want to see the tenacity of this woman and the grace of her, and you know, I would even say that Hillary Clinton could probably take a page out of her book. Mary Barra continued to take relentless hearings on the congressional Hill, just getting beat down day after day after day by both sides of the aisle, not just one side, in terms of how GM handled the recalls. They made it a lot of personal attacks, and never once did she lose her cool. And so that, again, why she's my favorite in terms of grace under fire. Huge fan, plus I'm a loyal Cadillac customer and want to see them succeed.
You think? It's interesting. It seems as though their financial problems started to change when you started buying Cadillacs. I mean, she might owe you a debt of gratitude for her ranking, given the brand loyal customer you are for Cadillac. And so let's address the number one woman on the list. We've said her name a few times, IBM Chair and CEO Ginni Rometty, who is the number one on Fortune's list and 55 on Forbes' most powerful people in the world. Number 10, most powerful woman in the world. Ginny is also known for women in business and entrepreneur as she chairs IBM and one of few women who hold the title of chair and CEO. And she's been on Fortune's list for 8 years, and this is her third year as number one.
Right, so she's got a list of accolades that one can, you know, it's very hard to contend with
CEO of IBM.
I mean, honestly.
Chairman of IBM.
She's been like CEO and chair, it seems like forever.
Like, that's it, right there.
Well, Ginny has been a consistent powerhouse woman in the rankings for several years now. Another headliner in business this past year was Meg Whitman. So we're going to move on because I think we've talked enough about Ginny. But Meg, to get another namer in terms of headliners this past year, she did double time on a number of lists. She's number 3 on Fortune's list of most powerful women in business and 20 on Forbes' most powerful women. And in my mind, stole the show at Fortune's conference this past October when she announced at the opening day the split of her company, Hewlett-Packard, into two separate and distinct companies. The PC and printer operations under one roof under the name of HP Inc., and its business that provides software and services to corporate customers under another name, HP Enterprise. Meg will have leadership roles at both companies, serving as CEO of HP Enterprise business and chairman of HP Inc. Pretty cool. Dion Wessler, the current executive vice president of HP's printing and personal systems business, will become CEO of HP Inc.
So Whitman's predecessor, Leo Apotheker, I just like saying that dude's name.
Yeah, but you've been talking about this before forever, because I wanted to hail her as being
Apotheker.
Groundbreaking.
Apotheker.
And what she wanted to do with splitting the business, and you always remind me that she took this from Leo.
Leo considered the split similar to hers and was sacked after 11 months. The two companies, now we're going there, so the companies will be roughly equal in size, and it allowed them to focus on their core competencies. Each will have revenue just over $50 billion and profits each over $5 billion. And HP will also be looking to be making acquisitions in its two separate business lines this year. I think what they want to now do is build scale to their specific business lines and start to go on a spending spree.
So before we move on to the next woman on the list, what's your prediction for Whitman in 2015? She stays on the list, this becomes a really bad idea, or it's still, she's in transition here.
I'm a little spooked, not so much. Well, first, I think it's probably a good idea. I don't think the markets were ready for it back when Leo Apotheker decided to do it or thought about doing it.
I think it's Leo.
It's Leo.
Leo.
No, it's Leo.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how they pronounced it on CNBC, because I used to say Leo. It just sounds better, Leo Apotheker.
It sounds Greek or something.
I feel somewhat sophisticated when I pronounce it that way, so please allow me to do that. I think her time has come. I love what they're going to do. I like the segregation of duties, but I think it's going to be a challenging year for international-based diversified companies.
Thumbs up, thumbs neutral, thumbs down for 2015.
Thumbs up for Flan. She always executes. We'll see what economic headwinds are for Meg. I think it is frankly possible that she might take a beating from a reputation perspective just because of economic forces.
Well, always a big fan to follow Meg Whitman and what she's done with her career, and always excited to promote and celebrate another woman making chair and CEO, which was another feat for Meg as she accomplished that this past summer, obtaining both the chair title as well as the CEO title. So great to see that. But another woman who made the headlines in the business and technology sector was one of our favorites, and she gets the good and the bad and the beating from the media, was Marissa Mayer, the CEO of Yahoo. She was scrutinized this past fall by key institutional investors for not leading the company to larger shareholder returns. In fact, Yahoo's investment in Alibaba was also a headliner for Marissa, as the young CEO was scrutinized on the impact of the Alibaba investment.
But let's not forget about Alibaba was the biggest IPO, which occurred in September and made a bunch of people billionaires. They sold over 122 million shares, raised $5 billion. Just frankly, one of the biggest headlines in the last few years for being a Chinese online company. You know a lot about it from a service offering perspective. Jack Ma has invested heavily for female executives within the ranks, and a lot of them are getting made with compensation as well. Yeah.
Yes, and Alibaba made the headlines, as you had stated. So Marissa Mayer made the headlines, personally predicting that 2015 will be another year that she struggles as she tries to show that the investments at Yahoo are actually going to turn around into better shareholder returns, whether in the stock price or in dividends. I think that's going to be a transitional year for her again, and I don't think she's going to be a fan in the media. Alibaba had brought to the forefront a number of female executives who I think will make the headlines, so I think it will be a good year for Alibaba. And also for Jack Ma, and the reason why I mention his name is, again, as you had stated, he has been a huge proponent of diversity, not as a goal, but as a matter of success for his own ingredients. So glad to see that this high-tech company will be very focused on women in the executive ranks, and also great to see new women billionaires made as a result of the IPO for Alibaba.
So before we wrap the segment, I do want to comment on a couple things about Alibaba and Yahoo. Are they going to take a bunch of money that they got from Alibaba and reinvent themselves? That's going to be the challenge for Yahoo. I mean, I still like parts of their product, but they've got cash. What are they going to do?
So let's see how Marissa fares with that. So let's take a break before we finish up our last segment. We covered a lot of ground: women world leaders, women in U.S. politics, women in business, and speaking of women billionaires, when we return, the richest women in the world who made the headlines this past year, women and their impact on sports made the headlines, and last, the women headliners of 2014 going into 2015. More when we return.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Did you know banks decline more commercial loans than they approve? In fact, national banks approve less than 20% of all business loans submitted. And that doesn't include the loans that don't even qualify. But at Inter Pares Capital, we are here to overcome those odds. We are a nationally recognized commercial brokerage firm with access to thousands of public and private lending institutions. That means we have more options to finance you than your bank does, whether you are a startup or in need of debt refinancing or growth capital. We can help. We do the heavy lifting so you can focus on running your business. Contact us today for a free consultation with one of our business advisors at 855-365-1930. At Inter Pares Capital, we are your business partner in finance.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Power Lunch on EWN Radio Network, your Power Lunch Hour keeping you informed of women in the headlines and making their own news. And now here's your host, Mona Lisa Como.
Welcome back to the Power Lunch, sponsored by Inter Pares Capital, your business partner in commercial financing for your real estate and business needs. I'm your host, Mona Lisa Como, with my handsome co-host and technocrat, Jay Como. We are covering the 2014 year in review with powerhouse women who made the headlines. It was a very busy year, and let's move on to one of my favorite segments, the richest women in the world making the news this past year.
It's always great to talk about the most powerful women in the world from a political and business perspective, but it's a whole different stratosphere when you talk about the richest woman in the world. We've already talked about the richest couple in the world, Bill and Melinda Gates, with a net worth of over $80 billion, and she's the third most powerful woman in the world given her money and influence. But it's a record-breaking year for women on the Forbes list of the world billionaires. Out of 1,645 billionaires, 1,645 people this planet are billionaires. 172 of them are women, and that's up from 138 the year prior.
Woohoo!
There's no denying that women are still a tiny minority on this list, representing a little over 10% of the total.
But only 10%, but still impressive numbers to work with, and glad to see that trend line continues to move up. It must be noted, though, that the women who made up the list of billionaires are considered individuals and not married, as the case with Melinda Gates, which is why she didn't make the list. Number one on the list again is a member of the Walmart founding family dynasty, Christy Walton, worth $36.7 billion. She is not Walton by birth, but by marriage. The widow of John Walton, son of Walmart founder Sam Walton, has held the number one spot of the richest woman on the planet for four of the last 5 years. Why so? Well, she has boosted her fortune above the rest of the Walton family members through her ownership of First Solar shares. Her sister-in-law, Alice Walton, the Walton by birth and daughter of Sam Walton, is the third richest woman in the world with her mere $34.3 billion, just a few billion shy of her sister-in-law.
To round out the top three richest women in 2014, back in second place after a year at the number one spot is Lillian Bettencourt, who's worth $34.5 billion. The 91-year-old L'Oreal heiress remains France's richest person. And her fortune actually increased this year thanks to the company's stock surging.
Well, 10 of the Forbes Power Women are also self-made billionaires. Three of these made their money in fashion, including 43-year-old Spanx founder Sarah Blakely. She's the world's youngest self-made female billionaire. And Tory Burch.
She really is a billionaire.
Yes.
Spanx?
Yes. Goodness, women cannot live without that. Spanx and Tory Burch, 47, whose $200 ballet flaps helped her join the Three Comma Club. Burch still owns 28.3% of the eponymous brand she founded. Muccia Prada, aged 65, recently became co-CEO of the fashion house started by her grandfather, and she continues to have a say in day-to-day operations, making her also on the top billionaires list.
Yeah, if we keep talking about Meg, she's going to have to put us on her board, shameless plug. But she's obviously a billionaire thanks to her legacy investments in eBay and her massive pay in HP shares. Facebook chief operating officer Sheryl Sandberg's net worth has teetered around $1 billion since January.
So she's new to the list this year.
That's right. Thanks to the fluctuating value of her $12 million shares that she owns in the social networking firm. Then there's Lorraine Powell Jobs, widow of Apple co-founder Steve Jobs, who oversees more than 130 million shares in Disney. And he got that through his acquisition. And that's all the shares left behind from him. And then the Disney shares are actually collectively worth three times more than her stake in Apple.
That's impressive. So, because Apple being such a higher valued stock. Well, my favorite newcomer billionaire, and we've talked quite a bit about her, is CEO and founder of Theranos. Her name is Elizabeth Holm, and she's only 30 years old. She dropped out of Stanford her sophomore year using the remainder of her Ivy League tuition to start up her company, which is now valued at over $9 billion, of which Holm still retains 50% ownership. Theranos is revolutionizing the medical industry with her innovations that require blood work to be done faster, cheaper, and safer. Rather than using a long needle, drawing multiple vials of blood and taking a day or so to analyze, Elizabeth Holmes' company Theranos allows the medical staff to draw only a few drops of blood for the same blood analysis.
Holmes is 30. She's a billionaire. Stefanik is 30. She's a congresswoman. We got to get going.
great output for these next generations.
Awesome. That's quite awesome. So I'm no fan of needles, but I'm really intrigued to watch this company grow for many reasons. First off, I'm always interested in innovation, particularly in the medical industry, because it needs it so much. It saves lives. It doesn't just enhance your lifestyle like a new app helps you find movies or books. It really saves and enhances your lives. And there's so much more room. We talked earlier about what can we do with on-demand TV and how can that segue into other parts of our life. What can we do with technology and how it makes our lives better? And how can it make our medical lives better? There's so much. When I got my MBA, one of our strategy professors who's also chair of the board of directors of the school I went to, we talked about this 12 years ago, about just touching the surface of technology. He was a Silicon Valley guy. Touching the surface of what can be done in the medical industry. And there's still so much more, but she's absolutely run to the forefront on this. So, as a father of two daughters, that gets me excited that my girls could one day be accepted as scientists if they so choose. And I highly doubt either of them will choose that route, but still, well, maybe the youngest one. But it's impressive to see what she's done and really in such a short amount of time and how much she's worth. It's fascinating.
Absolutely agreed. And it's wonderful to see that this billionaires list, as we had stated, some of it was inheritance, at least a lot of it was inheritance for the top two ladies or top three. The next few were self-made billionaires. So excited to see so many more women making the billionaires list. And hopefully 2015, I do predict, we'll just see more increases on the billionaire list.
Well, we only have a few more minutes. Let's wrap it up with some other interesting women headliners in 2014, and that will definitely carry into 2015. The NFL made headliners for all women this past year, the handling of the Ray Rice domestic violence abuse. The NFL has restructured its leadership team to have more women on their executive team to help influence their decisions on players and penalties. We also have a campaign, NoMore.org, that will continue to be a focus of moving into the 2015 football season as well.
Yes, and women are the fastest growing segment for the NFL franchise, so you can see that in their gearing their apparel towards women, which is a new change for them. So in an effort to ensure that they do not lose this base, they'll be working with Roger Goodell to make the franchise towards domestic violence issues and how to combat issues with their players.
The other top headliner this past year in 2014, headlines in 2015, is the Ebola outbreak. It was also actually the number one story in 2014. Leading the focus globally is a woman powerhouse, and she's the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan. She's been directing country leaders for the past year on how to deal with the global outbreak. Well, 2014 was a scary year for the U.S. as we saw our first Ebola patient diagnosed on our home soil. Outbreak is expected to spread, but handle in a more contained fashion domestically as well as internationally. Dr. Margaret Chan will continue to lead those efforts.
The biggest headlines going into the Christmas season was the Sony hacking fiasco that exposed internal trade secrets, employee and actor personal information, as well as threats to potential viewers of upcoming movies, of the upcoming movie, The Interview. And at the helm of Weathering the Storm is Sony co-chair Amy Pascal, who had numerous of her internal private emails exposed to the Hollywood industry, where she made disparaging comments on many in the industry. While Amy Pascal is co-head of Sony Pictures, she's endured most of the scrutiny in the media's co-chair Michael Lynton has not had any scandalous emails revealed on his part. So he got away kind of scot-free here.
Yeah, it's interesting. The hackers either targeted Amy Pascal or Michael Lynton just didn't have any juicy information to share. You know you've reached a level of scandal when TMZ starts to follow you, and Amy Pascal has been ambushed at the airport these days with cameras asking her thoughts on her private emails attacking certain directors and actors across the industry.
So it's like a real-life version of House of Cards, art imitating life or life imitating art. I think the Sony hacking scandal is probably far from over, and I foresee future headlines in the coming weeks as we continue to identify if the hackers were truly North Korean. Is the retaliation launch for the movie, or is it an internal job? I mean, it could be an internal job.
Yeah,
you and I have talked about that.
Actually, you were skeptical early on that it was the North Koreans. Not that they were incapable, but just the depth of the hack.
Yeah, it was just too many times watching House of Cards. It felt like it was an internal job for one of two reasons. One, to make the movie so much buzz around it, or two, someone wants someone out of a job.
Another scandal, but definitely Hollywood, so it's made for scandal. And last but not least, since we're on Hollywood, let's not forget the women in Hollywood that made business in headlines, and those are women actresses or famous media moguls that also got in the news for not so great reasons. Whether it was Martha Stewart attacking Gwyneth Paltrow for her new company Goop, stating in an interview this past year that, quote, Gwyneth is a movie star. If she were confident in her acting, she wouldn't be trying to be Martha Stewart, end of quote. Ouch. Gwyneth retaliated, this was classic, by hiring Martha Stewart's CEO to trade sides and run her company. Even better. One point for Gwyneth, but we expect this passive-aggressive feud between these two powerhouse women to easily head into 2015.
It was a great year just for women in headlines, seeing the growth of women in boardrooms, executive suites, politics, sports, right? Sports. Amazing news there, media and entertainment. I can only be hopeful for 2015, although there are many notable women who did not make it in 2014, make the list. Let's call them out.
Yes, and let's definitely, Jay, every new year we celebrate the opportunity to start a new year fresh with resolutions or a new beginning. Although, as you had stated, many people did not get to see the new year because they had passed. And these number one names or women headliners have had an impact on women in the industry and also have laid the foundation for future generations. The following women who did not come through to 2015 with us and had passed away in 2014 was Maya Angelou, who died at the age of 86, world-renowned poet and author. Last year, we also lost actress Shirley Temple at age 85, as well as actress Lauren Bacall at age 89. Lauren Scott, she's the fashion designer, stylist, and longtime partner of Mick Jagger, committed suicide at 49, tragically. And lastly, the biggest name for losing women in the industry was Joan Rivers, the comedian, actress, and entrepreneur who died tragically at 81 years old this past year when undergoing a procedure for her vocal cords. She was a trailblazer for women comedian and actresses in Hollywood, devoting over six decades, or close to six decades, to the entertainment industry.
And also a woman who wasn't a celebrity. She wasn't 86, 85, or 89, or even 49 for that matter, with some of the ages of the tragic losses we had last year. But with the death of Brittany Maynard, who's 29, and she was a newlywed, and she was diagnosed in spring of 2014 with terminally ill brain cancer, and made global headlines when she announced that she was going to take her own life on November 1st. And we followed this earlier, and she eventually did pass. It was very tragic, and certainly something to remember, and with a heavy heart.
Yes, this was a heartbreaker. So Brittany made the headlines not for any reasons any of us would want to make the headlines. Her cause went viral when she made that YouTube video with a nonprofit organization called Compassion and Choices, which is focused on bringing death with dignity options to more states in the U.S. Currently, I think there's five states that allow you to have death with dignity, also known as euthanasia. Oregon is one of the few states that allow death with dignity, and Brittany and her family relocated to Oregon in the summer once Brittany and her husband decided she would choose her day of death rather than suffering through her prognosis.
And her video created extreme reactions from both sides of the issue of euthanasia. Her struggles with terminal ill brain cancer and death with dignity opportunities has created a national dialogue. But it's an interesting conversation, because no matter where you stand politically, from a religious perspective, it really, I don't know, from my view, was it really euthanasia? She was going to go. This thing was going to beat her. And she chose to control it, to go with dignity. So it's a tough conversation, and I'm not sure that there's a right or wrong answer, irrespective of your religious and political beliefs.
I agree. This was definitely a tough decision, but she brought to light it's definitely an issue that I think will continue on in 2015. So that is a legacy that she leaves behind. So that's how we're going to close out the 2014 year in review. We look forward to the year 2015. We can expect more women headliners with great interviews of women trailblazers as well. So we have a great agenda for you in the next months, and we'll be relaunching our social media pages to engage our base more.
Also, if I might say, I've only caught on with you once in a while on the show as your co-host, but you launched this podcast in 2014. You did some previous work on a different format, but I think kudos to you for having the entrepreneurial insight to provide a voice that is not commonly heard, not heard enough, and so a great accomplishment in 2014 for my lovely wife.
And my lovely co-host, you will be joining us in future casts as well. So thank you for staying with us. We hope to hear from you in this next 2015. We've got a lot of great interviews coming up, a lot of great headliners. And please stay with us. Listen to us every Friday with a new show. You can also listen to past shows. Definitely check us out on our website, www.ewnradionetwork.com/power-lunch. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. And you can also send us an email at mcomo@ewnnetwork.com. We hope to hear from you. Have a great Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.